morning, church. When we were born, we were placed in our mother's arms. Immediately, we learned that she was the source of our nourishment. She was the source of our safety and our security. When we needed something, we would call out to her for help. But along the way, life gets more complex, and we recognize that our mom can't help us with everything. Life has a way of surprising us with storms. Sometimes those storms are sudden. The doctor calls with bad news. Sometimes it's an unexpected job loss. Other times it could be betrayal from a friend that we trusted. There's other times in our lives where the storms aren't sudden. They're slow. They're lingering. A chronic illness, financial pressure that won't lift, or even ongoing family struggles. We don't have to be literally on the seas with waves crashing down on our heads to know that a lot of times we feel absolutely helpless. You've been there, and so have I. The disciples in Luke chapter 8 found themselves in just that type of storm. Up to this point, they had not questioned the direction Jesus was leading them in. He told them where to go, and they just followed. But when a storm arose, so did their questions. Are we going to make it? Have you ever asked yourself that? Does Jesus care? Where is God in the midst of this? This passage that we're going to read teaches us that storms reveal two things. It often reveals our unbelief, but it also reveals Christ's authority. It shows us that Jesus is not only with us in the storm, but he is also Lord over the storm. Let's walk through this together. I've entitled this message, Going Through the Storm with Jesus. Our scripture text for this morning is Luke chapter 8. We're going to start reading from verse 22, and I'll be reading out of the ESV. Luke chapter 8, verse 22, I'd ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. It reads this way. One day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him?" Lord, we've lived life. We know that every life comes with tumult, with storms. As we consider who you are, would you calm fears in us? Help us. Help our faith through the hearing of your word and the move of your precious Holy Spirit. These things we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Again, the title of this morning's message is Going Through the Storm with Jesus. The disciples get the inside scoop from Jesus just a couple of verses before. He tells them the seed is the word of God, and the soil represents heart condition. And he says, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. By the time the Lord had finished giving the parable of the kingdom, the disciples must have felt as if they were postgraduates in the school of faith. They now understood mysteries that were hidden from the scribes and the rabbis, and even from the Old Testament prophets. But they didn't realize, and we are the same, is what Warren Wisby says, is that faith must be tested before it can be trusted. It is one thing to learn a new spiritual truth. It is quite another thing to practice that truth in your everyday experiences in life. So I ask you, is the truth you have gained by walking with Jesus active truth? Is it active faith? Is it there when the pressure mounts? We're in church and we hear something and we feel that faith is building and we leave excited, ready to take on the world. Is your faith active when storms come? Storms are good at bringing questions about our direction. It says, one day he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let's go to the other, across to the other side of the lake. So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down from the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. Notice the promise here. Let us go to the other side. Jesus's words should have been enough. Jesus's words should be enough for us. Not only because we read it in the Bible and see how it's worked in the lives of those in Scripture, but we've experienced it for ourselves. And one thing about being in the community of believers, we see it active in other people's lives. It should have been enough. If he said we're going to the other side, we're going to arrive to the other side. But in the middle of the storm, they forgot his words. Why? Because they started to focus on the circumstance. We all fall into that at times. Isn't that just like us? We know what God's promises are. But when other things come up in our lives that seem to be contrary to the way we believe it should go, our faith gets shaken. We're starting Bible study this Friday. It's good to sit in Bible study. We can sit there and we can nod in agreement with God's promises. But when the storm comes, our faith will be tested. Remember what Wiersbe said. Faith must be tested before it can be trusted. The disciples looked around. They saw danger. Then they looked within, and they saw fear. They should have been looking up and seeing God. Storms bring questions. They make us wonder if God's direction is trustworthy. You know what God wants from his people? To believe him, to trust him. But faith, real faith, is not simply knowing the truth. It is obeying in spite of how you feel. See, things will come and have you feel a certain way, and it's contrary to what God has said. Faith still trusts what God says above how we feel. It is something that we would trust beyond the consequence. We sing these songs about the mighty God that we serve. We sing these songs with deep conviction because we've experienced it in our lives. How come the next circumstance that we approach, all of a sudden we say, this is going to be the one that gets me? I could tell you, what was your most serious trial a year and a half ago? Some people, it might have been life-changing, so you would remember. Other people are like, I don't know, I just know what I'm facing today. We are to trust in the middle of the storm. And the reason we are to trust in the middle of the storm, because storm's going to keep on coming. If we don't trust in the middle of the storm, then we're going to go through life just not trusting. When one storm wraps up and we have peace and stillness, something else is on the horizon. I'm not being a Debbie Downer. I just know what my life has seen, what has happened in the lives of other people. But the most beautiful part of this story, of this text that I read, was Jesus was asleep. One, it shows he wasn't worrying about whether he was going to end up on the other side or not. But there's something else. Jesus being asleep shows his humanity. He was exhausted from ministry. He was worn, and he needed rest. Now, I'm a hard sleeper, but you know where I don't sleep hard? If I sleep at someone else's house. I don't sleep hard when I'm in a hotel. I sleep hard at my house, in my bed. My wife got to give me an elbow. I heard something. We're in the midst of a storm here. These guys are frantic. It says that Jesus was in the back of the boat with a pillow, sleeping. So he was either really, really tired, or just as confident as I feel in my own bed that nothing's going to happen. He wasn't worrying about it. It shows his humanity. Why is that important? Because Jesus is the Son of Man. He is 100% man. That's important for us because, like Hebrews 4:15 tells us, it reminds us that he is our sympathetic high priest. He knows what we're going through. And then, And the very next moment, Jesus' deity is revealed, because he is not only the Son of Man, he is the Son of God. He is God. When he awakes, he proves it. He rebukes the wind and the raging waves. Notice what he didn't do. He did not pray to the Father, please calm the seas. No. He spoke with divine authority. Peace, be still, it says in Mark 4:39. And what happened? The storm obeyed immediately. The Bible tells us that God already declared that Yahweh stills the seas in Psalm 89:9. Job tells us that God alone commands the ocean, saying, you can go this far and no further. God is the one who made the seas, separated it from the land. God is the one who split the Red Sea, who dried up the Jordan River. God is the one who had that raging sea going when they wake up Jonah in the bottom of the boat and say, pray to your God. He says, throw me over. And they were safe. And a giant fish swallows them up. Because God King of the universe. Do you see what Luke is showing us here? Jesus is both man and God. He sleeps in weakness, yet he commands in power. He understands our frailties, but he is sovereign over all creation. Both of those things at the same time, what a marvelous sight to see. Jesus confronts their fear with faith. When the disciples woke him up and cried, Master, Master, we're perishing. And Marcus says that they said, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? And Matthew says that they said, save us, Lord, we're perishing. They said all that stuff. Jesus responds not with comfort. It's going to be all right. He acted, and then he responded with a question. Where is your faith? Their problem was not primarily that the storm outside was going to take them out. Their problem was the unbelief inside. Wiersbe puts it another way. Their unbelief was more dangerous than the storm. Ask yourself, what's worse, what you're going through or how you're handling what you're going through? We all go through stuff. See, what the enemy tries to do is make you feel like, no, it's just you going through something. There's no temptation that's uncommon to man. We all are going through stuff. Then why are some people smiling and some people crying? It's because of what's going on the inside. Not that your storm is so much more difficult than anyone else's. Fear and faith cannot dwell together in the same heart. It's either in the moment you have faith to go through, or you're scared to death. It's funny because I still use like old school Brooklyn colloquialisms. I was just with someone and I'm walking with them. I said, yo, why you shook? And he's like, what? I said, oh, I'm sorry. Why are you acting like you're afraid while you're walking with me? Fear and faith cannot dwell in the same heart. And yet, don't we often live just like the disciples? We know Jesus' promises. We've experienced Jesus bringing us through time and time again. But when pressure comes, the fear sometimes rises louder than our faith. What we need is applied faith. It is faith that functions in the midst of pressure. They obviously had a level of faith. They're following Jesus. They've left all. But they forgot, due to the present circumstances, that Jesus said, let's go to the other side. And they had to wake him up from his nap, as if he wasn't aware of what was going on. Even if I feel overwhelmed, his word is true. Even when I can't see what he is doing, his word is true. He said, let's go to the other side. But catch this. They experienced a greater fear. It says, and they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who then is this that commands even the wind and the water? And they obey him. At first, the disciples feared the storm. But after the calm, they feared Jesus even more. Why? Because they just witnessed divine power close up on display. Imagine you think you're about to die. Now, I've experienced some rough weather. It's kind of bad when you're in a car. It's not that bad sometimes when you're in your house. I've been on boats before where it started raining and the waves got choppy. That is not a good feeling. As afraid that they were, and some of those were fishermen. They knew those seas. They understood what was at stake. For them to get to the place where they got to wake up the carpenter, they knew he was more than a carpenter. They knew, whatever I know about the seas, this is beyond me. I am overwhelmed. It did not compare to him saying, peace, be still. And them thinking to themselves, who is this? Like, we've seen him cast out demons. We've seen him heal people. Even nature immediately obeys and responds. They realized that they were in the presence of more than a teacher, more than a prophet. They were in the presence of God himself. You know what storms do? They strip away our illusion of control. We think that we're in charge. Storms strip away your illusion that you're the boss, that your destiny is in your hands, that you're in control of the situation. And it forces you to confront the reality of Jesus. Just like you would yell out to your mother when you were little, Mommy, help me. We fight for independence when we're little. Don't hold my hand. I'm big. I don't need any help until something happens. Ma! We were camping one day, and my wife likes saying, like, I'm your mother. I said, I got a mother. You're not my mother. She said, no, I'm your mother. So I like hot sauce. Someone passed me some hot sauce. Check out this hot sauce, Reggie. So I'm reading it. I didn't even open it, didn't taste it, handed it back, rubbed my eye. The pain was so intense that I wasn't even concerned about the pain. I said to myself, you just lost your eye. My mother lives in South Carolina. I said, Jesse! Water doesn't help situations like that. That happens to you, you gotta like pour milk in your eye. That's what they did. After it was said and done, I didn't lose my eye. The first thing she said is, I told you, I'm your mother. We're not in control like we think we are. Is Jesus the Lord of your life, or is he just a religious figure? Is he the Lord of all creation that commands your life, or is he just some faraway God that you try to appease? You're not in control. And storms will always remind us of that. You're not as strong as you think. You're not as smart as you think. But the good news is, and you don't have to be. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side. Let's not miss the significance of these words. That wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't like, I think that's where we're going. No, it was a promise. This is what's going to happen. It points to something greater. The Christian life itself is a journey to the other side. From this world to the next. From sin to salvation. From death to eternal life. The storms will come. He will bring his people safely through. Let me tell you what the church is not. The church is not called to be a storm-free life, but victory through tribulation. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. I know that some preachers will tell you that your life could be storm-free. How's that working out so far? God knows exactly what he's doing in your life. Even when it hurts, even when you suffer loss, he is still God. In the late 1800s, Horatio Stafford was a successful lawyer in Chicago. He had invested heavily in real estate. But in 1871, there was the Great Chicago Fire. It destroyed the city and much of his property. Shortly after that, his four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. 2 years later, he put his wife and four daughters on a ship to England. While he stayed behind, I'll catch up with you later, to take care of some business. On the voyage, the ship struck another vessel, and his wife survived, but all four of his daughters died. They drowned, grieving boarding a ship to meet his wife, as they passed near the place where his daughters had perished, the captain pointed it out. It was there on the deck of that ship that this man penned the words that we still sing today. When peace like a river attendeth my soul, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Think about it. This man had lost almost everything. He still declared God's sovereignty. Christ is enough. And his soul was secure. Sometimes God will bring calm to the storm. Other times, he will allow the storm to rage on. But he will give you the endurance you need to get through the storm. No matter how it goes, he's always going to bring his people safely over to the other side. Romans 8:37 reminds us, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Wiersbe was right. Truth that is only in the head is purely academic. It must be practiced by the will. And storms are what is where the practice happens. That's where you know where your faith is, when it's tested. So, what do we learn from this boat ride with Jesus? One, that storms are inevitable. You're going to face them. Two, that Jesus is both with us and he's Lord over the storm. Also, the greatest danger is not the storm itself, but unbelief within. He has promised safe arrival to the other side. The disciples ask, who then is this? The answer is clear. He is the Son of God. He is Savior of the world. He is Lord over all creation. The real question for today is not, will I survive the storm? But, am I in the boat with Jesus? That's the question. Luke 8 is teaching us that sometimes Jesus calms the storm with just a word. Sometimes he allows it to rage on, but he will give you peace in the midst of it. Don't allow your confidence to be in the size of the waves. It's easy sailing. Everything's good because the water is going to get choppy sooner or later. Jesus always knows what's best. Always. He understood that the way to life was through the storms of Calvary. His death would bring about life. His suffering would purchase our peace. His cross would be our victory. It brings us back to what happened with this man and his family. He knew what it was to lose everything. And yet, he said, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's faith. That's faith that trusts God no matter the results. Come on up, worship team. If Jesus calms the storm, if he calms the storm, well. If it's still raging, it's well. Because he's gone through the greatest storm for us all, which is the cross. That's what we remember when we come to the Lord's table. Communion reminds us that Jesus did not avoid the storm of suffering, but he willingly entered it for us. The Lord's table is for believers. Even believers that are having struggles. That's why before we take the elements together, we have a song, we sit, we reflect, we pray, we repent. This is a table that we are privileged to come to. So I'd ask you, if you are not yet a believer, that you would refrain from taking communion. I'd ask parents, if your child does not understand the significance of this, it's not for them to take communion. That time will come. Ask the leaders to come up, the ushers to prepare. I'm going to just have a seat in the front here while the worship team sings a song. Just remember, the bread reminds us of his broken body under the weight of sin. The cup reminds us of the blood that he spilled to bring us peace. Spend some time with the Lord, and I'll come back and we'll take communion together. Amen.